This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. Easter Sunday service attenders around the world today will proclaim that Jesus has risen indeed. Because Jesus Christ was 3 days dead and buried, only to conquer death and live again, we have hope. But many wonder, what is our hope based upon? Is it based upon blind faith, such that it is a fragile hope? Or is it based upon historical fact that cannot be explained in any other way so that our hope is strong? Pastor Scott looks at three historical evidences that support the fact that Jesus overcame death and is truly worthy of our hope in him. This message was delivered on April 1st, 2018. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Amen. Woo! Thank you, Pastor Aaron and Cahill. Well, good morning, New Hope. He is risen. Amen. What a wonderful you could imagine what the disciples must have been going through from Friday to Sunday, man. Just like panic. Don't know what to do. What happened? What happened to our King, our Lord? They probably was thinking that he is going to be the physical king of Israel. But God had different plans. You know, in April 1st, man, what a day, yeah? What a day to celebrate Easter. April 1st, 2003. I can say I was a fool for Christ because I started working for New Hope. How's that? April 1st, this is my church anniversary. April 1st, 2003. I quit my job at HPM, which I love so dearly, you know that. I was buying tools. Vendors were knocking at my door to give me free tools to try. How good of a man job is that? Right? They was giving me free, and then the Lord asked me to come work for New Hope. I said, no way, are you crazy? No, you're crazy, he told me, because you're going to come. It's like, oh. So I can say I was a fool for Christ. And, you know, Psalms 14:1, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. And I think about that, and I think April Fool's Day, and the fool says he has in his heart, there is no God. You know how many people are saying that these days? Man, that's the people that we get to love and bring them into the kingdom. So many of them. You know, the resurrection, oh, it is just so powerful. It's like our beliefs. It's like central to being a Christian. Not only does the resurrection witness to that awesome, awesome power of Jesus Christ. The resurrection proves that Jesus is who he claimed to be, the Son of God, the Messiah. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. In that one scripture, Jesus claimed to be the source of the resurrection and the source of life. The power that Jesus showed us to give life. Man, that is just so incredible. So much of what we believe depended on the resurrection. So, I mean, because of that, because of the resurrection, man, we have this incredible amount of hope. Amen? Just a few weeks ago, I was on Oahu at the Hawaiian Island Ministries Conference, and James and I were walking in, and this lady was asking us if, you know, if we knew where to go, right? So yeah, excuse me, you know where you're going? Say, yeah, to heaven. Amen, right? Home, because of the resurrection, right? I mean, if somebody asks you, you know where you're going? Tell you, just tell them, heaven. Right, because that's where we're going, amen? Amen? So, what hope isn't? Okay, hope is not, I hope the Patriots win the Super Bowl. Sorry, that's not hope. Or I hope I get a raise. Biblical hope is not a I hope so kind of hope, but I know so kind of hope. It isn't wishing for the best. It isn't waiting to see what happens and hope that it turns out well. Hope is not a feeling or emotion. Hope is the knowledge of facts. If someone tells you, I hope you have a good day, there is no guarantee the day will go well. To have biblical hope is to have a sure anchor of our soul. Not hoping for rain because the forecast says there is going to be rain. And you hope that it rains so it waters your plants, fills your tank. That is not hope. That is called wishful thinking. Right? We have a lot of that. It is utterly undependable, has no power to bring anything to pass. Human hope pales in comparison to biblical hope. Listen to this. The Christian definition of hope, and I think it's in your bulletin. A Christian definition of hope is far superior to that of the world. Instead of wishing or hoping for something to happen, could you imagine? It's like, If you ever had the thought, I hope I go to heaven. Man, that is a terrible way to go through life. I hope I go to heaven. Man, because that's just an awe. My faith and my hope is like, I know I'm going to go to heaven. Amen? Amen? I mean, the definition of hope is far superior of the world. Instead of wishing or hoping for something to happen, a believer knows that their hope is solid, concrete evidence because it is grounded in God's word. And we know that God cannot lie. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:19 that if we're not for the resurrection, those who believe in Christ would be the most miserable of all men. What a sad and pitiful state we would be in if there was no resurrection of Christ, which was a promise of our future resurrection. Imagine if there was no resurrection in Christ, man, we might as well just go home. Because it would just be a social gathering and you'd just be listening to a bunch of words. The Christian hope that is found in Hebrews 1:11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for the conviction of things not seen. It is a hope that is like faith, a faith that cannot be moved by circumstances or what the eyes have seen because of an unseen God is seen in his faithfulness. We cannot see God, but we can see his faithfulness. The resurrection of Christ is like the chief doctrine of Christianity. It is the event that proves to us that Jesus is who he claimed to be, the Son of God. And this morning, we're going to look at some facts concerning the resurrection, some very important facts. Okay? So number one, it's a historical fact. The life of Jesus Christ is a fact of history. His resurrection was reported as an actual existence. There were many eyewitnesses, accounts of Jesus Christ alive after his burial. Mary saw Jesus at the tomb. A few disciples saw him before the whole group did. In Acts 1:3, to these, he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convicting proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. So after he was crucified, after he was put in the tomb, after he came back alive, He hung around for 40 days, and there were many witnesses. People actually saw him. All right? So there were more than 500 witnesses who testified to the resurrection. What a bummer for the Pharisees, yeah, who was like, and the Sadducees who believe that there is no resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15, 3-6, Paul writes, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of who remain until now, but some have fallen asleep." So it's a factual thing, not just a made-up, pull-out-of-air story. There's facts concerning his resurrection, that he did indeed rise from the tomb. The primary duty of the apostles was to bear witness to Christ's work and his claims. In order to do that effectively, they had to witness his resurrection. And of the many people who did, who witnessed Jesus in his resurrected body, just a handful of them were named. Imagine if they listed all 500, that would be like another book in the New Testament. Each appearance was purposeful. Even some incidents were recorded. Could you imagine Thomas? Man, I feel sorry for him because he's like, "No, I'm not going to believe until I see. I'm not going to believe until I see. I'm not going to believe. No way, no way, no way. You're pulling my leg." And then Jesus came and said, "Here, come. Put your hand in my side. Put your fingers in." Like, oh. And then, boom. And then he believed. And they said, "Blessed are those who haven't seen and believe." That's us. So each appearance was purposeful. Man, guy, you could imagine what it must have been like. Friday, "Oh, my Savior is dead." Sunday, "Wow, he is alive. Holy moly." Man, that must have been so cool. Sometimes I think like, man, I myself, I was dead, spiritually dead. Dead, just no good. And when I received Christ, man, it felt like resurrection. Brand new purpose in life. My purpose in life was not to grow marijuana anymore or drink beer anymore. Man, I had a brand new purpose in life, and it was so beautiful. My purpose in life was to love people into the kingdom, to bear witness to what Christ has done in my life, to go and shouted from the mountaintop that he is risen. Every time I look in the mirror, I said, "Wow, God, you did so much in me, but oh, you get plenty more work for do." Choke more. I mean, but dude, I've gotten this far, I still got this far more to go. But from here to here, if you knew me before, I am a walking miracle. A testimony to what God can do to a spiritually dead person. Number two, how's this? The resurrection was prophesied back in Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53:8, "Unjustly condemned, he was led away." Now you can think, okay, picture this, okay, this is Old Testament, way before even Jesus was here. And these guys writing this, like, "Unjustly condemned. Who are you talking about?" But they, you know, now we can understand it, right? But back then, it's like, what is he talking about? What is Isaiah? He's nuts. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream, 33 years old. "But he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone. But he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life was made an offering for sin, we will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. Now, if you were back in the time when Isaiah wrote this, you were thinking, like, what is he talking about? No one could figure it out. I mean, how would Isaiah know to write this unless the Holy Spirit told him to write this? But it was prophesied long before Jesus even came. And it was like, and when all this happened, I think the light, you know when you do something and God tells you to do this and you don't understand why, like Noah, go build an ark. Why? Go in flood. What is a flood? Never even rained yet. So why am I going to build this big boat? They think I'm crazy. And so he builds and then it rained. Oh, I got it. So when Isaiah wrote this, it's like, what is he writing about? And we probably couldn't figure. If we just read the Old Testament, we'd be reading this. Like, but then when we see the life of Jesus fulfilled in this prophecy, the light goes on. Like, wow, how in the world did Isaiah know to write this years before? The sacrifice suggested this idea that he was going to die for our sins. Something different from what they, because they used to slaughter animals just to kind of cover up sin temporarily. But when Jesus died, man, no more animal sacrifices, because if he didn't die, never rose from the dead, and all that stuff never happened, and you know, you would be coming here today with a sheep on your leash, and I would be over there holding the head, kind of grossing out. We would be cutting the neck. Somebody would be collecting the blood. I know that. And then we would be eating afterward. But that's what it would be like. But here, Jesus died once and for all. He rose from the dead, as Isaiah prophesied so many years ago. Man, I couldn't imagine just how the Holy Spirit just spoke to Isaiah. He wrote this, and it was a fact that Isaiah wrote this, and it came to pass. And the thing is, people say, like, oh, maybe it was just a spiritual thing. But it was both a spiritual and a bodily, physical resurrection. It wasn't just like a spirit walking around. It was both. Jesus was walking around. As you can see, Thomas put his fingers in the hole, in the hand and the side. It was a bodily and a spiritual resurrection. And so they think, wow, it's a fact that it was prophesied. And then number three, the tomb. This is really incredible. The tomb was protected. The tomb of Jesus Christ was protected in three, this is a fact now, three documented ways, which helped to ensure that the disciples of Christ wouldn't steal his body and claim that, oh, where is he? He's not here. So care was given so carefully that it could not be claimed that, oh, he didn't rise from the dead. They were carefully put in place. And the Bible goes into detail in helping us know the facts surrounding the resurrection. First, there was a large stone in front of the tomb to guard the body. Matthew 27:66. So they went and made a tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone posting guards. So they had the stone, they had the seal, and they had guards. So the stone, they say that when they got to the tomb in the morning, the stone was rolled away. Now, they say this stone was like huge. It was like 2 tons, maybe. How many know 2 tons? How many of you think you can push a 2-ton stone out of the way? Yeah. And it was especially hard because the way they describe it was the tomb, they cut a groove, and to close it, they just moved the stuff and the stone would roll down a slope and Boom, sealed. Could you imagine being stuck in there? Panic. So to get it moved away, you kind of have to push it uphill. You ever try pushing a car up a slight grade? Yeah. I tried. Oof, no way. I'm sorry, but I mean, even a small car is difficult. But there was a track, and the stones rolled over there. Then they had a seal that you know was a way to show if it was tampered or not. So Jesus or the angels rolled away the stone from the tomb. Okay, and why do you think that they moved the stone? Do you think they moved it so that Jesus could get out? I don't think so. I think they moved the stone away so we could get in. And we could like, wow, there's nobody here. It's empty. He is risen. It's like, what happened to him? So, you know, probably would have taken a bunch of men if they had to move the stone. But it would have been difficult because there was a guard. So it was probably wasn't easy at all. The tomb was sealed off by Roman guards so that the disciples could not sneak in by night. If the tomb had not been empty, claims of the resurrection could not have been maintained. You know, that's it. The guard was there to protect the tomb. On Matthew 27:62, the next day on the Sabbath, the leading priests and the Pharisees went to see Pilate. They told him, "Sir, we remember that the deceiver once said, while he was still alive, 'After 3 days I will rise from the dead.' So we request that you seal the tomb until the third day. This will prevent his disciples from coming and stealing his body, and then telling everyone he was raised from the dead. If that happens, we'll be worse off than we were at first." Well, they were worse off, right? It was like, oh, could you imagine all that they were going through and all that they did, all the planning they did to crucify him, and now, bro, your plans just went out the door because you was on the wrong side. Man, I would have hated to be in their shoes. I mean, I actually was on that side at one time, but now I'm on this side. The punishment for falling asleep on duty or walking away from their post was death. With such a steep price to pay, it does not make sense that they would have simply fallen asleep without divine intervention. And the third thing was done was a Roman seal placed upon it. Okay, death by crucifixion was the punishment for breaking the seal. Well, they couldn't kill Jesus again, and couldn't kill the angels. No one would want to be found guilty of that. The disciples, the Bible is so incredible. You know, you read about the crucifixion and how they captured him in the garden. They arrested him, and all the disciples went just dig out. Remember I talked about abandoned? But if you read in Acts, man, there's a whole new disciples. They're just so bold. Yeah. Back then, they were probably so chicken that they would not remove the stone because they were probably afraid. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is just the beginning for you and I. It is just the beginning. Jesus rose from the dead first, but his resurrection was an indication of what was to come in our resurrection. The Bible tells us, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all be made alive. the power that was used by God to raise Jesus is the same power that will be used in our resurrection. How's that? The resurrection ended the separation that was between us, that sin caused. As Christians, we believe that Jesus will come again, and those who have died in the faith are now with the Lord. And those of us who are alive will join our heavenly King and to be a part of this heavenly kingdom. I mean, so much of what we believe in lies on the resurrection. And the resurrection did happen. And this morning, I just shared with you just some of the facts of the resurrection, that we can have hope because it's based on what the Bible has written, not what I have said or what I feel. It's based on what the Bible has written, what those who wrote the Bible has written to us. And there is hope. Man, isn't that such a great hope? That's why we call ourselves New Hope. It renews our hope in life. Man, when you go through life and you're threatened, that's why when I go fishing, I stand on the edge. Maybe you call me stupid, but not my time yet. And I fish because I get hope. And I tell the guys, if I fall in, don't come in after me, because I cannot swim. We can get 2 funerals. Right? So, hey, you know where I'm going. No worry. We have hope. We have hope one day, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Brand new body. Oh, can you imagine me? Oh. Yeah. Brand new body. And I cannot wait for that day. You know, I've been with people who are in the faith, who believe, and they're dying. They're not afraid. They know where they're going. They're happy. The only one sad is us, because we gotta still pay taxes. Right? And we still gotta eat our vegetables. But those who go before us, like, wow, we kinda get jealous. We kinda get envious. It's like, wow. Today here, tomorrow in heaven. How is that? Because of the resurrection, because of the hope we have in what was written, because of the hope and the promises that God made to us. Amen. You may put away your notes. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And don't let this opportunity pass you by. I'm going to pray. And if any of you needs to reaffirm your faith in the hope, I'm going to ask Jesus to be our Lord and Savior with a simple prayer. And I'm going to ask that you bow your heads and close your eyes, everyone. And I'm going to ask you boldly, pray this prayer with me. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins. And I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? I want to pray for you. Anybody out there? God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? No shame. Anybody else? You may put your hands down. Lord, you have seen the hands. Give them the hope of the resurrection, that they will be in heaven because of you and because of what they just prayed. They said yes to you. So, Lord, use this family to help grow people in the faith, to help make disciples, to strengthen us, to lean on you. Lord, we are so grateful for your words, for the prophecies that came true, for the words that were written about the resurrection, the promises you made to each and every one of us. We claim that now in Jesus' name, that we have a hope and a future in heaven with you because the resurrection of Jesus Christ that happened years and years ago. We thank you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Man, this is so awesome. Would you stand? I love how last week it was winter, and this past Thursday was summer. Wow. And I'm not complaining about the heat because I had a little bit enough of rain, but it is so beautiful. Amen? Amen. So let's sing to the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Thank you, Pastor Scott.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.